Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What is going on to the right of me? Just look at it. Ohio State, Michigan getting ready to go in just about 2 hours. I watched both the pregame shows. I tried to. They're extending the pregame for Fox. And I don't know if you guys noticed this. We got Shep, we got Tom D. Everybody's fantastic. Peter Schwartz in on the updates today. I hope that people notice this. If you watch both pregames, now some people just watch College Game Day because that's what they grew up, that's what they watch. There is a difference in the demographic. Because if I turn it over to ESPN, it's a lot of college kids with their shirts off, a lot of 19-year-olds, maybe some underage. A lot of people having a good time, a lot of young people having a good time, very young people. And then you go over to Fox, and it is a different demographic. Like, they got the cheerleaders and stuff, but you're seeing a lot of 45-year-olds, 50-year-olds, a lot of older dudes in the crowd. And I'll tell you this. For me, like, I felt this way earlier this weekend where it was Thanksgiving night. I'm walking around the house, and I counted 8 different lights I had to turn off. 8. Walked around the entire house, turned off 8 lights before I went and laid down in bed. And I had to say it on social media. I've graduated to the point now where I walk around the house and turn lights off and mutter sarcastic insults about my family while I do that. Just like your dad did, just like his dad did before him. His dad probably would have done it before his dad, but still there probably wasn't much electricity back then. And I watch this, I go, I'm Fox now. I'm Big Noon Kickoff guy. That's not an anti-ESPN thing. That's not me going after any of the people on ESPN. I just look at what it is now, and I think it's kind of where, And they got 3 hours to fill, so it can be fluffy. I understand that. But it seems to me that's where country music acts go to die. When I watch College Game Day, it's story to make you feel guilty. It's story about redemption. It's country music act that went to die. It's college kid diving in the mud. And then it's Lee Corso puts on the mascot helmet. And then I go over to Fox and it's everybody's in a suit except for Charles Woodson. Usually he wears his ascot. He's not wearing an ascot for whatever reason today. But you got these guys who've won Heisman trophies. You got Urban. And it's just, it's a more adult crowd. Like College Game Day for me, and I was at I went to a school that will never have College Game Day. College Game Day for me is load up, party, have a good time, get crazy, probably get a little bit more loaded before you even get into the stadium. Fox, that's more, all right, you know what? Maybe a couple of ice cubes, maybe neat, maybe a little bit of Irish coffee. We're gonna get a little bit tight or loose, depending on your nomenclature. And we're going to enjoy the game today. And we're going to learn about football. Urban Meyer is going to teach us about football and about avoiding NCAA violations. And the rest of these guys are going to tell us about football as well. It's going to be fantastic. Like, that's what I see in the two pregame shows. They're both, ESPN still does a good job, but I watch both the pregame shows. I'm like, man, Fox, you're impressive. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We will talk college football later on today. That's obviously a guarantee. Got big, big rivalries going on. Doug LeMaurice is in Ann Arbor, Michigan, cleveland.com. One of my favorite guests. Yes, that's biased. Love Doug. He tells it like it is. So if you're a big Michigan fan and you're listening to Detroit and you're really upset, don't worry. Doug's going to have you taken care of at 11 a.m. Eastern. Also, noon Eastern, Brian Broaddus is going to join us. 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, used to be Cowboys.com. The straight dope about Jerry Jones, the straight dope about Jason Garrett. Because, Jason, you had a chance, buddy. I came on Thursday morning. Shep was there. He knows it. And I said, this is, and I felt like I was the only one. I go, it's Bills. Better coached. They're looking for the type of of respect that an NFL, a younger NFL football team craves. This is the type of game that they don't play well. Talking about the Cowboys, I felt bills in my bones from the second I walked into the studio on Thursday morning. It just felt like that type of day. And immediately when Dallas scored, I started getting, I didn't check Twitter that much, and I started looking at some of the tweets, and it was, you seeing this? Hey, them boys. Kenny, over here. Dem boys. I felt like I was the only one who was picking bills. And as the game went on, I'm having a pretty good year with I told you so. Except for one guarantee that I made that ended up horrible and it ended up on awful announcing. But either way, I've had a pretty good year for I told you so. And watching that game on Thursday, Jason, you had your chance. You had your chance to prove me wrong. You had your chance to shut me up. You had all the pregame shows picking the Cowboys. It was at home. It was Thanksgiving. The kettles are out in the end zone. It's your chance, and you let it go down your leg. And Jerry Jones after the game, yeah, he supports Jason. He supports Jason now. If you're Jerry Jones, you are too damn old. You've invested too damn much money. You are getting too close to this thing spiraling out of control. I don't know how this year ends, and I don't think that Jerry Jones wants to put Jason Garrett in a terrible position and go, you know what, if you don't win this division or you don't win a Super Bowl this year, it's your ass. I don't think he wants to do something like that. So I respect Jerry Jones for doing it, but there's not a chance in hell that you can't see right through it and no fan can't see right through and go, this guy's in trouble. You're 6-6. You're about to spend money on Dak Prescott. You have to. You have already spent money on Zeke Elliott. You have to spend money in other places. You have good veterans. You have young guys who will hopefully come back and play for you in the future very, very soon. You have too much talent on that football team to let this thing grind it out on its leather ass yet again and be a disappointment. On Thursday afternoon, you saw a changing of the guard. I'm used to seeing Buffalo Bill football in the month of December or going out of the month of November at maybe 500 and then the bottom falling out. That's what I'm used to seeing. On Thursday, the better coach team won. The team that had more momentum, and I hate using momentum in professional football, the team that had more momentum ended up winning. The better quarterback ended up winning. The better line ended up winning. The better team overall ended up winning that football game. The team that felt like they needed it more won that football game. You have a division that's handed to you. You have two teams that are a downright embarrassment. You have another team that no matter what they try, a former Super Bowl champion over the last 3 years, still can't seem to find the right mix. Maybe too many guys injured. Maybe it's just not working. Maybe there's a couple of things that they need to work on. Philly fans will tell you anything. And it's your division to take. And you consistently skid around, move around, never take hold of it. You never grab it by the stones. And I can't blame anybody else anymore. I used to admire Jason Garrett for just being able to stand there and saying it's on him and taking the blame of what he's supposed to take. He's a head coach. He's supposed to take blame. I didn't think, and some people down at 105.3 down there, they'll disagree with me, and that's fine. I didn't think that he passed the buck too much. I didn't think so. I can't really use that as an example for you to keep your job, though. And I don't like calling for guys' jobs, but folks, this is what it is. This is exactly what you see. Exposure on national television, again, because Dallas only plays basically on national television. Exposure on national television, again. Exposure by a team that just flat out simply played better, wanted it more, not overwhelmingly better than you. A team that does have a little bit of gusto, a team that does have some motivation and inspiration from their head coach. And for Dallas, whatever message Jason Garrett's sending, how many ever claps that he has to do, it's falling on deaf ears. And Jerry Jones looks himself in the mirror over and over again and wonders if this is the time to make the move, because Jerry does like his power and he wants to do it his way. But if I'm talking to Jerry any day during this weekend or any time over the next couple of days, you are too damn old. You are too damn old. You've invested too damn much in your football team. Jason Garrett has done a good job getting you here. You need somebody who's going to get you there. Fresh voices can always make a difference. Matt LaFleur has made a difference in Green Bay. It's not that Jason Garrett's garbage. I don't think it is. But a change of scenery after this year, I don't need you to make a crazy decision now at 500. That's not the way to go, and Jerry Jones even knows that's not the way to go. But in the past, when you've made these decisions, you've gone to Dave Campo and Chan Gailey, and you've had weird results there. Went to Wade Phillips. Then you put Wade Phillips in an untenable situation. And now after Jason Garrett, probably after Jason Garrett, unless this team goes on some great big run, and you do have a chance to save that if you're Jason. You always do. I just think it falls on deaf ears. But you do have a chance to save it. Then you can go big game hunting. And I think the perfect guy is over to my right. I think that even though I question what he can do in the NFL, I think that if you're Jerry Jones, you might want to go after Lincoln Riley. That's obvious. That's out there for everybody. And you're one of the franchises where you could leave a Cadillac program and go there and try to do something different. You can try to do that. But I look off to my right. He'll let you pick the players. He'll let you and your faction and your brain trust pick the players. He'll try to go out there and he'll try to make it work. He has experience with Dak. He has experience with Zeke Elliott. He'll gain experience with a guy like Dak. He'll be able to work with a guy like Dak. It can't be, and you'll hate hearing me say this, it can't be any worse than what you have. It can only make things better. I don't think that Urban Meyer can be a 4-12 coach with that football team. Like, I watch Brian Flores. Brian Flores is a professional NFL football coach. He has guys who are not NFL football players. He's got two wins out of them. It's amazing he has two wins out of them. I think Urban Meyer at Miami would be 0-16. Watching Urban Meyer throughout the years, seeing what he's done, if he wants one shot to get over Nick Saban, and it would always be arguable, this is your time. Money out the wazoo. No restrictions on quote-unquote recruiting. They are grown men. They have to handle themselves. The police take care of matters now, not just you. And you technically don't have to do the picking. You could want to do the picking, and Jerry might let you do some of the picking. Who knows how that would work? But this is your one opportunity where Saint Nick is at the top, and I don't know if anybody can touch him. I don't know if Dabo can by the time it's all done. I don't know if anybody else can. Lincoln Riley, we make a big deal about him. Who knows? I don't know if anybody can touch Nick Saban in this generation. This is the only way you draw a parallel with him. You're close. This is the only thing. If you were to get over with the Dallas Cowboys, you did something that Jason Garrett couldn't do, that they were spinning their wheels as a talented team that couldn't get over the hump. You helped them do that, and you already cement your legacy as three world championships or national championships and a world championship that's thrown to that. That's something Nick Saban can't claim and something Nick Saban won't claim. If you're Jerry Jones, you have to consider, you've gone that secondary route before. Even though Jason Garrett was still primary, you've gone that secondary route before. I think you already at 6-6 have to make plans for the offseason of 2020. And what you're going to do to invigorate this franchise, to put the star back where it's supposed to. 855-212-4CBS. Every time Jerry Jones has done in the past, went big game hunting before with Jimmy Johnson, was a questionable hire with Jimmy Johnson. You know, they're buddies. Can he do it in the NFL? Obviously, he was able to do it in the NFL. Went big game hunting with Barry Switzer. You could say whatever you want to about Jimmy Johnson. Barry Switzer still had to take him to the Super Bowl and win that Super Bowl again. Went big game hunting with Bill Parcells. Parcells, as he always does. Gets angry, gets cantankerous, starts to get a little bit antsy, left, but they were good while they did it. They found a great quarterback at that time. They found great players at that time. When they ran it the way he ran it, you can't say they didn't find success. They did. Certainly way better than where they were before. And now you have Jason Garrett. He's done an admirable job to a certain level. But from what you saw on Thursday, where everybody's questioning you, and you go out there on Thanksgiving Day, a time-honored tradition in your own stadium, and you laid down the way you did, because that's what that was. You laid down in front of God and everybody. You have no more excuses. That was a football team telling the world they're done with this guy. And they're too talented at 6-6 to be laying down like that. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Yeah, I can't say Urban's the end-all, be-all. I can't say that Lincoln Riley's the end-all, be-all. Maybe one of the other young coaches in the NFL. Maybe it's a Josh McDaniels situation. I'm not sure. Do you think Jason Garrett can save himself? Or do you think they need to go in a different direction? All that and all the rivalries. 855-212-4CBS. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Send the tweets at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. Could get no bigger for Jim Harbaugh today. We got Doug LaMaurice at Cleveland.com joining us at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. For Jim, boy, I've done this before, and it's only because Jim's put me in the position to do it. Because I'll tell you what, man. You've tried three different offenses, and if they lose again, it's, well, you know, it's Urban's players left over, all this. You were hired to beat Urban Meyer. You never beat Urban Meyer. You're 0-4. That's why if Urban goes to the NFL, if Jason Garrett's done after this year and Jerry Jones offers Urban Meyer that job, I think Jim Harbaugh needs to beat ass to the NFL and get up there and go after him again. Because it would kill me. Jim Harbaugh wasn't hired to bring back Michigan football to 9-2. There's so many people, there's defenders out there, and I think you're just doing it to make some sort of contradictory argument. We can do it all day long. You know, they fired Lloyd Carr retired, but they fired Lloyd Carr because four losses wasn't good enough. If you're 8-4 or 9-3 wasn't even good enough. So you let go of Lloyd Carr, which is going on what feels like 20 years ago now. You go through all these coaches because that just isn't good enough, and now you're here at Jim Harbaugh. You didn't bring in Jim Harbaugh to do what Lloyd Carr did. That's the reason you let go of Lloyd Carr in the first place. And if you lose today, it's just that same old, terrible cliche. It's becoming cliche that I've had about Michigan football since basically the last 3 years. After you lost the bowl game to South Carolina, you went out there and you played really trash football and uninspired football after that. I go, what is this guy all about? Because I'm sick and tired of making excuses for Jim Harbaugh. I don't have to make any excuses for Ryan Day. I had plenty. You had them all lined up for Ryan Day. Hey, it's first year, a lot of pressure after Herb. He had that 3-game little tryout there. They went 3-0 while Urban was suspended. And boy, you're taking over a program that's had a lot of questions over the last couple of years. And boy, are they at an SEC level? Are they at a Clemson level? Can they get back to the college football playoff? What are they going to do in big games that aren't against the Big Ten? There were so many different things I could say to Ryan Day. There they are at 11-0. And for you, Jimbo, can't find his quarterback. Can't find his offense. Can't find the recruiting that he wants to do. Can't find again another offense that he wants to do. Can't find another offense that he wants to do. Rinse, wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. It's the same thing, the same rant every single time you lose a game. And so for this game, I brought up, it's one thing to lose to Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is one of the best in the generation. Regardless of what we want to say about him, he's one of the best in the generation, one of the winningest in the generation, second basically, maybe third to Dabo and Nick Saban by the time it's all done. But right now, second to Nick Saban. You lose to Urban Meyer, that's one thing, even though you were brought in to beat Urban Meyer, but we don't really want to talk about that. They didn't pay you that much money to go beat Ryan Day. They paid you that much money to go beat Urban Meyer. You lose to Ryan Day, I think the gloves come off again because you've played well over the last month. Since that game against Notre Dame where things clicked, offensively it was there. Shea Patterson played better in that game. Defensively, you were able to take it to a Notre Dame team that wasn't as good as what they were last year, but still a quality football win for Michigan is something that you need. And over the last month, you've played well. You've taken care of your business. But leading into this game, and the thing that I want to see out of Ryan Day today is something that Urban Meyer made it. It's got to be about the lifestyle. Because the one thing that I think that Charles Woodson talked about, that a lot of other guys have talked about, that they're disappointed in Michigan with, is that with Lloyd Carr and Bo Schembechler, everything they did, there was one piece of it that revolved around this game. About beating Ohio State, about how special it was to beat Ohio State, to protect the rivalry, to take it seriously, deathly seriously at times, and to go out and to prove to yourself and to your state and to your fan base that you were better this year yet again. It was a dedication that Bo Schembechler and Lloyd Carr had that I don't know if Jim Harbaugh has. For Urban, it was serious. For Jim Tressel, from day one, it was serious. It was deathly serious. You could be a five-loss football team the way they were in year one. As long as you beat Michigan, things are okay. We'll get over it. And they were 7-5 or 6-5 going into that first game, or I should say 4, and they ended up winning that football game the way it was against a good Michigan football team. And when the more I hear Jim Harbaugh and the coaches around him, well, you know, we try to treat every day like it's Ohio State. We try to treat every day like it's a big game. We try to just win each one of those games. You can't take a game that special where it's one of really, other than Army-Navy, one of the two premier college football rivalries out there with you and the Iron Bowl. You can't take a game like that and try to turn it into something every day. Indiana just doesn't mean as much. Wisconsin doesn't mean as much, obviously. Speaking of getting stoned out by a football team, it has to mean more. And when I hear Jim Harbaugh speak about how it's kind of an everyday sort of thing, it sounds more and more like John Cooper. And John Cooper, every time he could, did try to make it a big deal. They just couldn't get over in that football game. And I watched Jim Harbaugh over these last 4 years, and last year was supposed to be the one, and I still think Ohio State's scoring. 855-212-4CBS. Today, Thursday, I brought up with the Cowboys. That was a day of reckoning for Jason Garrett. Good or bad? If you were to go to 7-5 in that game, things are calmed down. You beat a quality football team. You're back at home. It's settled. You're in that NFC East. You can kind of take off for the month of December. You have that opportunity to do so. For this one, and they didn't do that, for this one, for Jim Harbaugh, you win this game. Okay, you beat Ryan Day. You won a game you weren't supposed to. The rivalry, back on. Kind of smacks of the Tim Biakabatuka 1995 Ohio State-Michigan day where Ohio State came into that game. They were supposed to win that game and win that game by maybe a couple of touchdowns. Tim Biakabatuka went nuts. The rivalry changes that type of day. It's one of those big-time upsets. For you at home, it's a golden opportunity for you to light the fire for this program and to change the way that it's going to be looked at in the future. Because you can really, for all the things that have gone after Jim Harbaugh, and rightfully so, you can change the conversation about 2020 right now in 2019.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to that greasy guitar. 855-212-4CBS. At CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. Hey, there's great news. You switch to Geico, you can save a bunch of money on car insurance. You go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you save 50% or more on car insurance. It's that simple. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. 20 minutes away, Doug LeMaurice, cleveland.com. I've posted on social media, Tom is despondent. Not despondent, disgusted is probably more the proper usage. Go ahead, Tom.
All I said was, ugh, that hat.
What's the matter with the hat?
It's representative of a certain school that has a big football game today.
I told you, there was a time, people don't believe this, there was a time I used to be a huge Ohio State fan.
Yeah, you've told me. I find it hard to believe.
Huge Ohio State fan. Oh, my God. I used to be so crazy. And it just, I don't know, man, it just changed over time. Like, I love college football. I sat there and watched all the games yesterday. I did some other stuff. You know, diddled around the house and everything like that. Watched the Apple Cup and the whole deal. Saw Michael Leach's press conference afterwards. Well, that was a little bit contentious. I'm a big fan. Sorry, but that's the way it goes. But I don't know, Tom. It's just, you're a Columbia guy, so you're like above it all.
I'm a Florida Gators fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, there you go.
Long before I was a Columbia guy.
See, I was wearing that hat before Urban Meyer. Those were the good old Tressel days, buddy. That was Jim Tressel back in the day.
So what got you away from them?
Quite frankly, I went to college. I went to Akron. And people say, like, I can't believe this. I can't believe you would still do that. It's that simple. Like, this is embarrassing. When I was in high school, I did not study. I did my homework. I did do my homework, and I was like, I got like C's on tests, right? And I basically carried a newspaper around each of the 3 years I went to high school, because our high school was 10th through 12th grade. So I basically carried a newspaper, especially as senior year. I didn't carry any books. It was just a Canton repository every day. And I read the repository every day, so I was always up on current events, and I was always up on history, but everything else, like, I just, and this is not a good thing to say, I didn't care about math, I didn't care about science. And really, I should have cared about science and math, especially with STEM careers and everything, but I didn't. And so when
luckily,
the time came...
there's not a big need for formulas and calculations and...
Yeah, and BS and sitting on ass and talking sports. There's not a whole big need of I found the one thing I could do to some certain degree. No algebra needed here. And if I get it wrong, it's just like, I eat that, and then the way we go. So I used to be a huge Ohio State fan. I got a buddy who lives in Chicago, Joe Serretta, big Michigan fan. He went to Princeton, by the way, and they just had a baby. Congratulations, Joe. And I used to call him and leave vile voicemails about Michigan. And how much I hated Michigan. I used to leave mean-spirited voicemails about Gary Moeller. This was years after Gary Moeller got fired, and I used to just rip him up and down, rip Michigan, John Navarro, the whole thing. And I sent, in computer class, you had to send things to colleges that you wanted to go to. And I sent one to Akron, and I got something back. I sent one to Kent State, and I got something back. I sent one to Ohio State, and not a chance.
Wow,
and
really?
I sent another one to Ohio State, not a chance. I sent a third one to Ohio State, not a chance.
Uh-huh.
Still, I was a big Ohio State fan. And then I went to Akron. Nice school, good people. I had good teachers. I don't have really anything bad to say about it. I commuted the first year. Then I lived on campus, had a blast. And, you know, as time goes on, I got to admit to you, Tom, that it's like, okay, Akron's done a lot for me. What has really Ohio State done for me? Does that make sense?
It makes total sense.
And then, it was like, I'm becoming more and more of an Akron fan. Then real quick, I know you want to say something. Then I started working with Lima, who's an alum. He's an alum of Ohio State. I started working with Dustin Fox, who played on that national championship
That's right.
team in 02. And I just felt it very weird. Like, there's guys who are here, and they played on that, like Mike Doss and Donnie Nicky and Matt Wilhelm. And
oh, so you feel
I
like you're not actually in the club, and that if you
it's
try
yeah
to
like
be
once you once yeah. you know those guys, it's very, very weird. And I just don't know if I can go and high five it when I didn't go there.
I think if I was actually like in Gainesville trying to pull off being a Gator fan, it would be a little weird. People would be like,
well, you're different than most. You don't wear jean shorts.
I understand.
So
yeah, exactly. Huh. Kincaid pulled that out yesterday too. My tight jeans.
Yeah, so
I'm cool with the jorts. I was about to ask about, like, what about the station now that you're, are you considered a traitor? But no, I guess it's more natural to everybody since you're an Akron boy that, you know, you have your, you support the team, but you're not quite in the club.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, when I look at Ohio State, it's like, okay, like, life's better when they do well because there's more people who are happy, and that's fine. But other than that, I'm just like, eh, good for you. I said, if my son ends up going to Ohio State, if one of my sons end up going to Ohio State, I'll probably jump right back in. If certain friends of mine were ever to become coaches with Ohio State, then I probably would jump back in. But honestly, if my son ended up going to, like, if my sons end up going to Akron, or if they ended up going to somewhere, like, different, I'd probably be a fan of that. If my son was, like, and I don't think they will, I'm their father. Like, say they were good at engineering, or they wanted to get into business school, like the Steve Ross School of Business, and they went to Michigan. Hey, I gotta tell you, buddy. Does that make sense to you? It might not. Maybe you don't like it.
You're gonna be pouring money into that school too, so of course. You'll have a financial interest in supporting that.
I kind of had to earn it. I kind of like to see them earn it too.
Oh,
who says I'm gonna pour money into it?
That's the plan. Yeah, that plan's gonna evolve.
Shep, does it make sense to you, bud?
Yeah, I'm with you guys all the way.
Okay, good. Where did you go?
I went to Bucknell. It's in Lewisburg. It's not Columbia. It's not quite there, but
Bucknell's
good school.
Yeah, Shep.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short.
I appreciate.
Don't sell yourself short. No, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say. You know, you said you didn't do math, and I agree with D. Ben. I think it worked out pretty well.
It's okay. You know, it's all right. I'm not looking. I'm not fishing for compliments over here. I'm just saying.
Anyway, Ken.
Well, thank you. Like, my son ended up going, and honestly, it's kind of freed me because I like good stories. And since I'm not, like, a hardcore Ohio State fan anymore, like, I can call it like I see it. Like, there are Ohio State fans who annoy the everlasting hell out of me. They annoy me like crazy.
Say.
Oh my God. Shut up, Tom. Like, it's not all just like, and I can enjoy some of the stuff with the SEC, and I can enjoy some of the stuff with the Pac-12. I'm starting to like Big 12 football more and more. You get what I'm saying? I can enjoy, like, Michigan. Yeah, you know what? Kind of like Jim Brandstatter, all right? There, I said it. Kind of like him. Kind of think he's a good guy. Dan Dierdorf, nice. I think he tells
you
it like it is.
Out.
I'm sorry. I feel that way. What? What
you
do you want from
out.
Me?
I don't know. You're just
truth.
Unprompted going across lines here.
Whatever.
I'm not the one who lives in Ohio. You know,
I've been to Michigan. I've been to the state of Michigan many times because I've had to travel to do play-by-play.
Uh-oh.
It's a beautiful state. How do you like that?
Uh-oh.
Have you ever been to the UP?
Uh-oh.
You ever been up to Michigan Tech and Houghton, Michigan during the Winter Carnival? Holy Toledo, is it beautiful up there. There. Said it. Meant it. And you know what? It feels good. Feels good to admit it. You know what? I like that they don't all go 69 miles an hour on the highway up in Michigan. I like how they go about 78 at least. That's another thing I like about being up there. How about that? Huh? I'm out there now, Tom, and I'm loving every minute.
Oh, are you? I'm trying to.
Then Ohio? Then Ohio? Are you kidding me?
In Michigan than Ohio.
Oh my God!
That would be very important to me personally.
Oh,
that would be very important.
God, do they drive faster? Oh, you should see the difference, feel the difference. They drive
past.
Anybody from Michigan would know. You see Ohio license plate. Forget the whole Ohio State Michigan thing for just a second, because they hate each other too. Because you got Michigan State up there. Also, it freed me to kind of like Michigan State. Kind of like that, you know, the whole thing. Kind of really liked Michigan State. And so I could see a little bit of it, and there's beautiful parts. There's nice woods, good outdoors. Tim Allen's a pretty decent, funny guy. They got a lot of stuff, and they drive very quickly up there. They move, and you should see the look they give you as they fly by. It's true, man. You go through Detroit, which there's good parts of Detroit. I don't want to hear what anybody says. You go through like 75 on I-75, cops will pass you going 90. They don't care. They got other things they got to worry about. They got other things that they got to deal with. They don't care if you're speeding. That's the last of their worries.
Sounds like you want to move.
No. I'm just saying on the highways, it's a very nice travel. It's a very nice.
Don't they also have that beer up there that everyone loves?
I don't know. I'm not a big, you know. The beer I like is available everywhere. You know that. I'm a high life man. So it's available in Ohio.
I'm thinking about Wisconsin, right?
That's what it is.
New Glarus is what I'm thinking
about.
That's
the Spotted Cow.
That's
when
right.
We had on,
Brian
Bulaga, when we had David Bakhtiari
exactly,
on. We were talking about
yes.
Yeah. All right, fine. 855-212-4CBS. It's just not that, to me, like the rivalry is special and it should be special. And if you're a big Ohio State fan, I have been robbed of this. That's the one thing I've been robbed of. I can't sit there and gloat the way a lot of Ohio State fans can. I've been to Ohio State, Michigan. I've rooted for Ohio State at Ohio State, Michigan before. But I can't sit there and gloat the way Ohio State fans can, because when I was a kid, it was different. When I bring up the Tim Biakabatuka game, I bring up the other games, John Cooper going into that game, just not knowing his ass from a hole in the ground leading into that one, it was upsetting. And to watch my buddy's brother, who was a big Michigan fan, and not being able to say anything because he beat me up, that sucked. And I used to be a huge Ohio State fan. And then things changed. Yeah, I find myself a fan of different stories. I feel like I've robbed myself, and I hope that my sons can go to that school and I can finish up my life as a fan of that school again. But as of right now, you know, I kind of dig Notre Dame, kind of dig what I kind of would love to see Jim Harbaugh do well and to make that rivalry something again, because it is lopsided. It is. I like some of the stories that go on around college football. I like other programs. It's made it a lot more, to me, it's made it more fun. I can enjoy other programs, at least be a little bit more impartial. And while Ohio State's doing really well, it changes some of the conversation we've had about them. Because I will say, I'm surprised. I thought they might go 10-2 in 2019. I didn't think they'd go through a 3-loss season or a 4-loss season, like some people were wondering. I thought they might, at worst, go 10-2. And they have played with an edge. They have played with a sharpness that I have not seen them play with since Urban Meyer took over. I think it's going to be more interesting over time. I think they're definitely in for the college football playoffs. It's going to be more interesting over time just for the simple fact of, will they be able to keep this edge? Because the best ones give you an edge consistently. Nick Saban makes it about the media or about the fans or about the other teams. He always provides an edge in games that aren't Auburn or aren't LSU. He always tries to find an edge, and that's part of the reason they've been so successful. Because if you're playing at that level, and I think Oklahoma deals with this as well, and I think I think Lincoln Riley has to dial it in a little bit. Where the very best, you're at the elite level, but you also become a place where guys can lose focus, especially young people. They can lose focus because you're now a stop between high school football and making millions of dollars. And so Nick Saban always gives his team an edge. Dabo Swinney, as much as I think the Roy bus is annoying, it always finds an edge, and they're beating everybody by 50. Right now, Ryan Day has a natural edge that is given his football team. Disrespect, doubt, a harken back to the days of John Cooper, even Earl Bruce. Questions of whether or not you yourself can get over. Guys who are buying in, they not only buy into the program, they not only buy into themselves, they try to buy into the coach. There are so many things that naturally line up for Ohio State this year. And for Harbaugh, this is one of the biggest things that you've had to get over. Because I look back at 01, I think you can go back to 04 in that game where Ohio State got over. If you look back to the big Michigan wins, 1969, maybe the greatest win in Michigan history, or in 2000, I would say 1995, those games changing the perspective a bit of Michigan football and where Michigan football is going to be. Today, still another one of those opportunities. It's not Urban, and it never will be Urban again, and you're still 0-4 against Urban no matter what. But if you win this game today, all of a sudden, 10-2 looks a hell of a lot better than 9-3, and then you finally got over on Ohio State. You can take this type of game, and even though this is a flimsy type of thing to say, because a year is a long time for things to shake out. You win this football game, it's memorable forever. Ohio State comes in at number one. If you win this football game, you could hold serve to 2020 and get people back on your side for 2020. Because right now, Jim Harbaugh has been cashing checks that have really gone without the services rendered. And I think a lot of Michigan fans, rightfully so, are starting to draw ire and go, where's our wins against Ohio State? Where's our wins? Where's our talk about us being in the college football playoff? That's where we were supposed to be 5 years into this thing with Jim Harbaugh. We're supposed to be one of the teams in the college football playoff conversation. We're supposed to be one of those teams. We're tired of hearing about Ohio State. We're tired of hearing about Minnesota of all teams and Penn State and Wisconsin. We're tired of hearing about those teams. Historically, it's supposed to be you and Ohio State, not Minnesota, Penn State, and Wisconsin. That could change today if they take care of their business, but I don't know if they can. Up next, Doug LeMaurice, Cleveland.com. We'll see if he thinks he is. They are in Ann Arbor. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.